Good day. Thanks for coming. This will be our pre-draft news conference. I'm glad everybody was able to come. I know at this thing you guys get frustrated with me because sometimes I'm not very forthcoming on exactly who we're going to pick or try not to give you any ideas who we might pick. That will continue, I'm sorry to say. I'm not trying to be insulting. It's just that I would not be doing my job if I gave up some sort of advantage that we would have or give somebody else an advantage. And the other thing, and I hope you'll bear with me, there are issues outside of the draft that may be relevant in terms of asking questions. Know this, I can say very little about those things too. But we can sit and talk and have a good time. I think what's important to know is the Packers are getting ready for football. We got a season schedule sent out. Mike has training camp schedules all done. There is no contact with players, but our players are very professional. And I'm sure they're getting ready, and we're hopeful that a deal gets done just like everybody else. And there are people working on that, Mark Murphy included, players on both sides of the issue are trying to get this done. And for the fans, as you know, we're planning for several different contingencies. What we do know is there's a draft coming up next week, and that's been my focus and the focus of our personnel department, as well as some focus, obviously, on the coaches' part. Obviously, they have other things in planning for the summer and the training camp. But with that, I'll be happy to take any questions you guys might have.
Keeping the lockout in mind, no free agency, has that impacted how you set up your draft board, or do you think teams are going to be even more need conscious without the ability to acquire players any other way for the time being?
I can't speak to other teams. We've tried to do everything business as usual in terms of preparing for the draft.
And I know you guys are behind extended season. How hard is it
Well, that's a good point and a good question. It does, as we said at the conclusion of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, it does complicate things because it crams some things up together. We are caught up. We've been working very hard. I can't say enough about what a great personnel staff we have, both on the college side and the pro side. They're all here now. We brought them in last week so that they could see some snow in the middle of April. And we are caught up. We are ready to go, and we feel good about where we are.
Have there been some people in the league who would prefer free agency to be after the draft? Where do you fall on that? What do you think is the better setup, the draft first?
I don't fall on that. I do whatever the rules tell us to do. I can understand the pros and cons. I think, you know, not having done it the other way, we're used to it the way it was. But I haven't thought about that. It's never even crossed my mind.
What is your comfort level with your receivers that you have here now, considering James Jones' future is kind of out of your hands and Donald is, you know, 36 and might not have a whole lot of years left?
Again, this will be an area that I won't be too specific. We feel good about our receiving group. Obviously, there are certain players that are in the systems issues area that we can't comment on.
Ted,
so
many guys are injured right now, and you haven't really contacted them. How much do you know about how those guys rehab progress? Is there any evidence concerning that?
Not very much. Our team doctor, Pat McKenzie, is is able to keep in touch with those guys and like that.
Ted, after you make your pick, does your contact end with the player there, or do you have a window that you can talk to, discuss on draft day, or do you make a pick and then you can't contact?
I don't. I think it's going to be different than it has been in the past. The specific rules on what you can and can't do, I know, you know, it'd probably be a little bit, I wouldn't be honest if I told you something that's not for sure. So, but there are going to be different rules in place, I think.
Are guys that aren't drafted, are those off limits then?
As of now, yes, there is no, there would be no college free agency.
Ted, you talked a million times about the importance of drafting the best player available. How frequently are you able to marry best player available on your board with a need that player might fit? I know that there's an aspect to need to your board, but can you kind of just explain that a little bit for us?
Well, yeah. I mean, I said this before. I mean, we go by the way the value board is set up and our draft board is set up, and we try to do that openly and honestly. Obviously, if there are what we would perceive as needs, that position might get a little bit more extra care, where we look at that a little bit more and maybe reevaluate things a little bit more. But at the end of the day, we still believe drafting the best player on the board is the best policy. You don't know what your needs are going to be. You might think you have a need at the end of April, or you may think you have a strong position at the end of April, but you don't know where that's going to be come August 1st, as we found out this season.
Alonzo Highsmith has a son in the draft, running back from Buffalo. I guess, what goes into conversations with, you know, when one of your key guys has, you know, it's his son. I mean, do you ask him to, hey, Alonzo, can you go get me a cup of coffee for 5 minutes, or how does that work? Fumble?
He caused me to drop my thing. Yeah, we ask him to leave the room. No, it's just like anybody else.
Okay, so he's allowed to stick in there and give his
$0.02?
Okay.
Yeah, are you going into this draft assuming that Colin Jenkins and Johnny Jolly aren't going to be part of this team in 2011?
Again, those are guys that come under the systems issues that I cannot discuss.
Is this defensive line draft as good as the one saying?
I'm not going to get too specific on that. You guys know that I do this every year, and it drives you crazy. It probably drives our fans crazy, but in general, it looks like a good group.
Ted, I know part of the draft, a big part of the draft, is projecting guys. Is it any more difficult to project outside linebackers since you probably don't see a lot of 3-4 defenses in the college ranks? Does that make it more of a challenge for that position?
Not really, no. I think you still go by, you know, is a guy a good football player? There are position specifics that you would like, ideal height, ideal weight, strength numbers, athletic ability, and things like that. But there's enough cross-training between the end of the college season, you know, by the time you go through the combine, you go through the pro days, and you do all that. From an athletic standpoint, you can see that. Now, the things that you don't see is say, in your particular question, a person – you know, drop in space and play like they were going to have to do it in the NFL. So there is some projection, but there's a lot of projecting when you go from the college to the professional football, no matter what the position.
How about quarterbacks with so much spread offenses? You hear a lot about under center, footwork techniques of these quarterbacks. Do you just have a good enough book on that?
Yeah, again, it's like we were discussing with the outside linebacker thing. There's a projection, and there are – with a number of positions. Even running back position has changed on the collegiate level because they run the spread thing, and it's the thing where they do like that. Most schools are not like the University of Wisconsin, where they line up in an I formation and pound you. Most of them are spread, and they're running really slip draws and things like that most of the time.
What do you think of the cottage industry that the NFL draft has become. You know, everybody's got a mock draft, everybody's got grades. And does that affect your job, not in how you do it in the draft room on draft day, but maybe in how your fans perceive your picks? Greg Jennings was a bad pick in 2006, and nobody had heard of him. Mike Neal was a bad pick last year because nobody had really heard of him. How do you think that kind of impacts, you know, public perception and how you go about the draft?
It doesn't. It doesn't. We've talked about this before. We don't keep score in April. If guys turn out to be good players, then we did our job. If, in fact, a guy comes in and he's not able to be a good player or contribute, then we haven't done our jobs. I think the fans understand that. But I do think there's a lot of interest in the draft. I think that's great. Quite frankly, most of the people that are commenting on it don't know anything about what they're talking about because I'm supposed to know a lot, and I don't know all the stuff those guys know. So
you don't keep score in April?
Don't. I hope not.
How do you keep score now after the number of drafts you've had? You feel pretty good about the way you've started?
We feel good about the core of our team. We feel like we have a solid roster. Obviously, you never get content. You never get satisfied, so we're continuing to try to plan and work on putting an even better team on the field. But we feel good about the young men that have come in, both the drafted, the undrafted, guys from unrestricted free agency. It's a good group.
Ted, what is the standard you use to determine whether a draft has been good or not?
I don't. I've never. I look back on drafts to see if these guys did what we thought they could do. Most people, I say you don't keep score in April. I never keep score on a draft because, quite frankly, if you went back and looked at something, it might not look so good. But I think over time, if you have players that come in and contribute and good people and good in the community and all that sort of stuff, and then it's been good drafts. I think for the most part, our guys come in and do a good job.
Ted, anybody would like to pick late because of what it means to you the year before. Do you like to watch, that you personally like to watch things unfold through so much of a long process like that, picking late, or would you rather go early and start looking at the next round?
Well, it's kind of a horse apiece. I love picking at 32. I love what that means. But then, the later rounds, it's not quite as much fun, because you're sitting there and now you're picking at 64 instead of 40 or, 96 instead of 70. So you got to watch 28 names come off or 30 names come off or something like that. But there's going to be a good player to pick every time it's our turn to pick. Our job is to make sure we find that player and call his name.
We used to ask you a lot about your penchant for trading back.
Yes.
And how you traded up in the last three drafts. Can you maybe just give us an idea of what your drafting philosophy is? And are you in any better position to maybe target a guy because you do have a pretty deep roster right now? If you wanted to
trade. Yeah. No, I think in the last 2 years, have we done it 3 years in a row?
Jeremy Thompson.
Oh, okay. I think it kind of depends. It's always been this way. It kind of depends on how the board is. If it gets to be, if we're thinking about trading up, then we're of the opinion there's a particular player that we really value higher than a lot of players on the board, and we feel like it's worth the cost, then we will entertain trying to move up there. The same thing can work in reverse. If, in fact, there are a number of players that we feel like are about the same value and we can move back five spots and still get the same player, then we are not averse to doing that. It kind of goes both ways.
Change from a preparation standpoint when you're picking where you are now versus, you know, maybe the year you picked DJ at number nine. How
There are, I mean, we evaluate all the players. There are not a whole lot, but there are a number of players that we have decided that they're not going to be available when it's our turn to pick. We still have our college reports from it. We still have the pre-Indy combine notes and reports from that. Those reports will go with those players going forward, but to realistically think that you could have a chance to draft one, it doesn't make sense.
Ted, you're the reigning Super Bowl champs.
That's right.
Doing something better.
We need a banner up in here or something.
You're obviously doing something better than a lot of other teams are doing. What's your secret?
I don't have one, and interesting question. I never had that. I don't think we are doing anything better. We work hard. We have good people. Everybody in the league, certainly in my line of work hard. I see all those guys at pro days and on scouting trips and things like that. Everybody's trying to get to the same place. I think as simple as it might sound, the credit goes to the young men that are on our team. Persevered, and they never blinked during that whole season, and it was a special time, and it's fun to talk about that. But we just think we got a great group of guys, but we do try to do our work. I'm not saying we're not prepared, and I want our fans to know that we are prepared to do this and do this draft and get ready for the season, but we don't necessarily think we do it any better than anybody else.
How many pro days did you get to, and just how much reaffirmation do you get out of that, or more questions are raised if something doesn't show up the same way it may have happened in the combine?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the first part?
How many pro days did you get to this year?
Oh, I didn't get to as many, half dozen or something. I was here a little bit more this year because I was catching up on things, and quite frankly, the video stuff that most colleges do at their pro days, you get that in just about as quickly as you get the numbers from the workout. But I did attend a few. I think it's important if you have a particular question that you want to see a guy and see how they work. And I went to Wisconsin workout because it was downhill, but it was snowing a lot that day. We almost got in a wreck going down there. But I think pro days are important. I think it's just like fall scouting. It's just this year it wasn't quite as many as I normally get to.
Ted, you guys have a pretty impressive track record with undrafted free agents. We know how important it is because you won't come down and talk to us at the end of the draft because you're working on it.
I come say hello.
How does it change that you guys aren't going to be able to work on that right after the draft? And Does that hurt you guys at all?
Yeah, well, all 32 teams are involved in that pretty heavily. Yeah, it's an important part of it. It always has been an important part of our deal. We work very hard on that, but it is what it is.
Can you do any more on that pre-draft, like in terms of visits, maybe more sort of recruiting now than maybe you would in the past?
No, it's kind of a systems issue, but as I understand the rules, you can't even in conversation now mention anything about that.
So when the draft is over on May 1st, are you still in draft mode to keep scouting the guys who, the best of the undrafteds? Are you still looking at more film, or when May 1st comes, are you basically done and moving on to new stuff?
Well, you would have already done most of the work on those guys that are still available, and then whatever the new system comes up, whenever that new system is set up, then I suppose everybody, that's going to be a league issue. The league's going to have to determine how that's conducted.
Yeah, I just wondering if you continue your draft work on May 1st, just to...
Not really. We've been cooking this stew for a while now. We're about to have it done.
So with the possibility that training camp might get interrupted, maybe in the regular season, preseason, now that's not what you guys want, but you have to be planning now for that eventually, and how can you change your plans right now and anticipation of that possibility?
Well, you plan, like I said before, and we have ongoing plan for lots of different contingencies as best we can. And we're just like everybody else, and our fans, our players, all the teams, the league office, we all want to, you know, have a new deal and move on.
So this is going to be your 7th draft here.
Right.
Do you have any favorite moments from the first 6, seeing Aaron tumble to you and being able to take him, or, you know, trading up and being able to get played? Can you kind of take us inside the draft room to some of the maybe the highlights and things that you really remember?
I enjoy the whole part of it. I do enjoy the preparation very much because of the guys I work with. The actual implementation of all that work into the draft, and there are anxious moments when you're hoping a guy gets to you, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. There have been some good times, but I can't really single out one, but I really enjoy the environment that we work under here, and everybody knows it's tense times, but everybody understands our system. They know, you know, how we do this. Everybody's involved in the process, but like I've said before, it's not a democracy. At some point, I will make that call, and I appreciate the work that we do together.
Speaking of the guys you work with, I don't know if I want to burn the last question. Speaking of the guys you work with, John's obviously in Seattle now. Do you think that there will be a lot of drafts where you'll still be working with John Dorsey and Reggie McKenzie, or do you think they're going to be GMs in this league sooner rather than later based on the success you guys have had?
I certainly think they could and should. I've never been good at predicting that sort of thing in terms of when someone would get that opportunity, but I certainly believe that they are more than qualified.
Thank you.